know we take away from the Hawks. Nah, the shit got my mind. Oh, that, here we go. Oh, it may be, yeah.
Stop playing. Big Draco, big love.
Yeah. All 2021. Yeah. That's what's up. We just out here enjoying life. Yeah, love. 2021.
Bob checking in. Who else is in the house?
Yeah.
You want me to get one of you too?
Nah, we just going around the room. You know who it is. Do a wardrobe change. Can I do a wardrobe change? Yeah.
Turn up. Hey, yo, and we stronger together. We can't do it if we ain't together.
No question.
Fuck that.
No question.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Yeah.
I got a single coming out. Well, I want to put a single out that I'm like very, very excited about. I've been off the music scene for a little while. I feel like I've been off the music scene for a little while, and partially for reasons like this. So I've been off the music scene for a little bit. Now I'm excited to kind of come back and give this single. I'm excited about this song. I feel like it fits the times. I feel like it's encouraging and inspiring and uplifting, and I want to help y'all dance a little bit through this pandemic. Bring a little joy in your homes, bring a little dance and an encouraging word. That was the purpose of it. I used whatever resources I had. I don't got my band here. I don't got my singers here. So I just, you know, the sound is what it is. It's kind of like work it out type thing. But I just got off the call with a business call, and it's like, I'm not selling out, y'all. I'm sorry. It's like, yo, your song is hot. Da, 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 da. If you do this, we can get you. I was like, yo, man. I was like, nah. I literally just hung up on the call. I literally like, hey, y'all, I can't do this right now. I know it's really all about the money. And I ain't selling out like that, yo. So I'm out. What I mean all about the money is, like, if you got money, you can get certain platforms. Period. If not, you got to do certain things to get that platform and make certain compromises. I don't got the money other people got. Well, let's just say I'm not willing to use the money I got for that. That's what I mean by I'm not selling out. I ain't doing that.
Peace, y'all. Peace. This video today is going to break down the influence that the media has over the general public by using hip-hop. For some reason, I don't know, but it's not that effective in other genres of music. As far as maybe heavy metal, maybe. But I want to base this on one topic, on how effective it is to the black community, okay, and how we've actually influenced our culture upon a lot of other races as well. But here's the thing, how the media plays this game, and I'm going to break it down on the deception, okay? The deception of hip-hop, all right? And the Goat Dummy movement. So now, I had a viewer said to me, he sent me a comment, he left a comment and said, do a video about the government involvement with big institutions and media control. Okay, and that's all going to play a part into this video that I'm doing right here. Then also, I want to talk about 360 deals. Somebody else asked me about 360 deals, and I'm going to break it down. I mean, you know, it's kind of, to be honest with you, the 360 deal is definitely self-explanatory. But, I mean, some people don't know what it is. So, I'll break it down as best as I could. Alright, so, we all know hip-hop started in the 80s. Some may say it started earlier than that, but to know it says the 80s, started in the 80s. I don't know which year to be exact, but Sugar Hill Gang and so on and so forth. So, when hip-hop first came out, it was on a process of being happy, you know, partying, having a good time, you know, taking your mind away from the stress, you know what I'm saying? Hip-hop had that influence on the black community. That was our way out, okay? We looked at hip-hop as a way out, as a tool to, you know, get your message heard. You know, there was no more, you know, people no longer wanted to write books anymore or be authors. They actually wanted to rap. Okay, so hip hop had a big influence on the African American community around the 80s. All right, and still to this day now, let's be honest here. But it has an influence on us in a negative way as well. All right, and this is what the media knows, and they play this game. All right, you got to play the game, and you know these artists know exactly what they're doing when they're doing it. So hip hop is all fun and laughing and freestyling and having a good time out in the park, barbecuing, dancing, you know, and then it turns to a point of flaunt. You know what I'm saying? Like, now the rappers are flaunting now. And I want to break that down as well, like how rap has always been about flaunting, okay? It's always been about flaunting, and I'm going to break this down. Now, when Big Daddy Kane and Rakim and all of these guys, Kool G Rap and all these guys came out, LL Cool J, Run DMC, their whole image was a flashy lifestyle, okay? They had to project this image that they had more than the actual viewer that was looking at them, okay? This is to gain your confidence and your trust to allow yourself to look up to them, okay? So when the media picks these people, all right, and puts them on TV, MTV, BET, VH1, whatever, and says, this is the new best thing. Okay, and whatever this person says, you should listen to them and follow them. Okay, they've made them a staple for the black community. So these artists that came out, Big Daddy Kane and all of these dudes, you know, that lifestyle of having more than the average citizen was projected to the mass media. Okay, and placed on television to influence the youth at this time, okay? The people out in the street, drug dealers at that time, you know, they wore the They wore the gold chains and drove the nice cars. You know, to be honest with you, I believe drug dealers were making more money than rappers at that time. All right. But that's neither here nor there. So it took a turn to when it turned flashy. Now, some of you may not understand why this is important because, like I said, they have control over the mind. So whatever this person is telling you through this song or on this in this video, you'll do your best to mimic it or say, damn, I want to live like that. You know, they know that these entertainers have that control over the youth and over people that are lesser than them, that have less than them, okay? So this is why these things like chains are presented to you, because, you know, it's a shiny object. People like this, glitz and glamour, all right, as they call it. All right, so that once that was into place, people that were normal citizens felt like they needed to live like this. You know, they wanted to live like the drug dealers on the corner, and they saw the rappers and wanted to be like the rappers, you know. So around this time, late 80s, you know, the youth was looking up to these rappers and drug dealers. These were our role models around this time, rappers and drug dealers, okay? This is all we had. We didn't have any positive people in our community, in the African, the black community, I should say, whatever you want to call it. It's a shame, and I want to talk about this too. It's a shame that black people don't even know what to call themselves now. We don't know if we're indigenous, African American, black. You know, I don't want to go into that because that ain't what I'm going to do. But I know who the hell I am. So once we got to this point where we were looking up to rappers and drug dealers as our role models, the media knew that they had total control over the community. All right? They seen that the money that rappers were making and the money that drug dealers were making from producing, from putting drugs and music in our neighborhoods, in our community. All right? So then things took quite of a spin, a bit of a spin. I think this was the test, to be honest with you. I think, my personal opinion, I think this was the media's test to see how much of an influence hip-hop had over us at this time. This is when the Rodney King riot, the Rodney King incident transpired, and, you know, the song F the Police was released by N.W.A. Now, when they came out, this made rap actually make a shift, okay, to a negative aspect. You know, okay, so if you pay attention here, you know, people were rioting and doing all kind of things because they said this song made them feel like that. You know what I'm saying? This song made them want to rebel against the government. Alright? I guess this is when these corporations realized that they had a monster on their hand, and they said, well, listen, the only way that we can actually control this thing is if we sign these guys and make them, you know, put out certain messages to their people, okay? It's simple. Give them a certain amount of money and have them turn on their own people, okay? So some of you may call it field niggas, and then you have house niggas. So the rapper is actually the house nigga, okay? If you think about it in that aspect, they're the people's favorite. They're the people's favorite. They're embraced. They, oh, come on into this industry and we'll make you a star. We're going to give you all of this, all of these things, all of this women. You want drugs and all of this, okay? So once they realized that this thing was a monster, all right, I believe that this is when hip-hop was, you know, this is when I'm going to say that these labels started taking that thought process into consideration and signing artists like Kid and Play, all right? Tribe Called Quest, Queen Latifah, Moni Love, Native Tongues, De La Soul. You know, these are groups that were bringing about peace. You know, they wanted to bring peace and happiness and get along, Okay, everybody, can we all just get along, as Rodney King would say, right? This is to slow down the violence. All right, slow it down. Now, some of you may not understand this and think that, well, you know, you had rappers like Wu-Tang, and though they came out later on, okay? And to change this narrative, right, was the fact was to make sure that they had total control over this, okay? So now, it's like this. If you know a cheat code to win at the casino, right? You're going to use that cheat code as much as you can. All right? You're going to use that cheat code any way possible. So this is how the industry viewed it. They viewed that they had a control over a total mass, right? Nationality or ethnicity with music. Because why? It goes back to the beginning. Black people are connected to the drum. So if it has a good beat to it and it sounds good, they won't pay attention to the message. Okay? For years, as a young man, for years, I didn't know what Biggie was talking about on any of his songs. I just liked Biggie's songs. I didn't know what Tupac was talking about. I just liked his song. It didn't hit me what they were talking about until later on in my adulthood, okay? So this is why it plays with your subconscious, and the media knows this, all right? So you have Native Tongues come out, Tribe Called Quest, you know, De La Soul, all of these dudes and all of this peace shit. Right, but then, you know, I guess the media realized that they had control over us and decided that we needed to be contained. Okay, we needed to be enslaved, as they would say. I'll be honest with you. You know, then, you know, artists like Biggie Smalls were promoted. You know, where he's talking about robbing pregnant women, putting guns to pregnant women's stomach. In the song Gimme the Loot, alright, Everyday Struggle, I Don't Want to Live No More, Sometimes I Hear Death Knocking at My Front Door, Suicidal Thoughts, When I Die I Want to Go to Hell, Cause I'm a Piece of Shit, It Ain't Hard to Tell, alright, these things were pushed upon the African American culture, okay, and mind you, Black people, and I'll be honest with you, this is how I know that the media was, Biggie Smalls was controlled by the media, because everyone knows that black people, we go through stuff, but we don't really have thoughts where we want to kill ourselves. And if we do, you know, we don't really go through with that. That's not our thing, okay? Suicide is not really our thing. I mean, there's people out there that you know, that have, you know, been victims of suicide. But to be quite honest with you, that's really not our thing, okay? So, respectfully, you know, I don't want to step on that topic, because that's a very sensitive topic, and people are really going through those things. But for Biggie to be projecting this message to, you know, his people that he grew up with, he was controlled, all right, by the media and the masses. I mean, you know, Puppy was actually the handler behind all of this, okay, that made Biggie write these songs. If you listen to Biggie's demo tapes, you know, he was just showcasing his skills. You know, he wasn't really making topics on being ready to die and suicidal thoughts and these things that are against, you know, our people, to be honest with you. But he projected that. You know, selling drugs to pregnant women and things of that nature. You know, this is how they knew they had control over us, okay? Because people were actually going out in the streets selling crack to pregnant women just because Biggie said it, okay? And I know a few people that did that, and, you know, it's it's ridiculous, man. You had people like Tupac, Mobb Deep, all of these individuals, push the jail agenda, okay, on the youth at the time. So they made it cool. They made it cool. You know, Mobb Deep had a song on their first album, Up North Trip. Okay, where they referenced being locked up, the first time they experienced being locked up. Now, as you know, like I said in my video about Prodigy, Prodigy was never in trouble. So how would he know what it's like to be locked up north? Okay, these people are faking the funk to sell you this because they're getting paid. The media, the music industry is one big commercial. Okay, so you have to look at it like that. Whatever the media tells them to project to you, the viewer, they're going to do it, okay? Because these major corporations, such as the Drug Administration and so on and so forth, they're funding these record labels, all right? They're giving these record labels money to promote this crap to your children, all right? This is how they are going to bring in new agendas. So now, when you have rappers like Mobb Deep and Tupac talking about being locked up and going to jail, and you know, and everything's cool, it's about selling drugs and being violent, okay? From the 90s on up, this took a gangster rap really actually took over hip hop, okay? It became its own genre at one point in time, okay? They considered gangster rap the most sold genre in America, okay? Worldwide, let's be honest, worldwide. So they continued on with it. All right? And this is when mass incarceration started happening, if you pay attention. I don't know if some of y'all are in New York or not, but Giuliani was actually the first asshole to bring in these things, okay? The mass incarceration of black men, and along with Bill Clinton as well. All right, so this is what it projected to do. You know, this is how things work. I mean, Bill Clinton was allowing people to get locked up for a nickel bag of weed. You know what I'm saying? These people knew what they were doing, and these higher up corporations above on this ladder that we can't see. You know, when people say, "Who are they?" You know, these are the individuals that we can't see. Okay, so when I say don't get mad at the artists, you know, you're thinking too small. Get mad at the corporation, the people behind the scenes that you never hear of are actually controlling this, and they live next door to you. They live in the next town over, and they have a nice house and a nice car, but you wouldn't know these people work in the music industry, okay? You wouldn't know that they're controlling the music industry, all right? They're sitting home minding their business. Meanwhile, your son is going out there robbing people because he's funding this company, all right? They don't care, all right? This is how America is built on bloodshed, and this is how they feel, all right? So now we're at this point where hip-hop has been emasculated, all right? And they want the individuals to be as dumb as possible, okay? Every time you turn around, the term go dumb or go stupid is projected to you, okay? Because this is what they want the children to, they want the children to be as dumb as possible. Now, we've all seen images of children with the Twilight Zone duality in their eyes, okay? We've all seen this. This is to keep your mind, your child's mind enslaved, all right? To keep your child's mind enslaved, all right? The dumber the children are, the easier it is for them to push an agenda, and changes can be made. So like I said, 10 years from now or 200 years from now, when, you know, the people that are racist, the people that are against these agendas, okay, we will no longer exist. If we're against these things, we will no longer exist. There will be a new world, a new population of individuals that are going to get along with the things that are projected to them, okay? It's all a plan, okay? This is a plan, and there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that you or I can do about this. Okay, the minute you try to change anything, you will be taken out of here. It's happened numerous times of individuals, all right, white or black. It doesn't matter the race or color. Fast forward, man. Now, some of y'all may say, Jay, I don't think that hip-hop has an influence on us like that, man. Let's take skinny jeans for an example, right? 2006, 2000s, the early 2000s, I'll say, you know, the style of men were baggy clothes, okay? Baggy jeans, all right? You know, you dressed presentable, you dressed how you dressed, you know what I'm saying? Jay-Z took a turn and even threw in the button-ups, you know what I'm saying? He get your grown man on, all right? 2007, Jim Jones introduced the skinny jeans. He was the first rapper to introduce the skinny jeans era, all right? So when you see these rappers now wearing skinny jeans, you like, man, where did this come from? How did it get there? Jim Jones was actually the first rapper to wear fitted slim jeans, the Affliction jeans at that time. And people were like, what the heck is this? He's wearing tight pants. What is this? All right? And then Lil Wayne did it. But then fast forward to 2009, all right, when the Jerk era came in, you know, and Lil B and all of these guys, they were doing they had the Vans on and the skinny pants, okay? This was a tactic by the media, because the whole plan, right, from beginning of time, was to emasculate you. Once they figured out that hip-hop had a total control over us, they knew that they could do pretty much anything, okay? They could do anything that they wanted us to do through music. It just couldn't be force-fed. We had to be spoon-fed this information, okay? So now you see your favorite rappers today wearing jeans that to them, it's the price, all right? It cost me $1,500 for these jeans, right? But they're skinny, though, all right? So forget about it being skinny. These jeans cost me $1,500. Some of your most machoist, most male-dominant rappers in the industry are wearing skinny jeans now, all right? So it's beyond me, man. You know, they're going to make it to the point where eventually you'll have no choice, okay, but to dress like this, all right? So it does have an influence on us, man. And you know, these things are detrimental to the youth, all right? So now when they saying go dumb, go stupid, you know, like I mentioned in the Megan Thee Stallion video, like, you know, the crash dummy suit is basically referencing to keep your child's mind enslaved and keep them dumb, okay? The less they know, the better, okay? If they don't know much of what's going on around them, anything can happen, okay? Anything can happen. And we are allowing the youth to listen to these things and, you know, keep them enslaved. You know, it's like this. If I give you the poison, right, and tell you to give this poison to your child, how about this? If I give you the poison, right, and tell you, hey, it's not poison, just give it to your kid, and you give it to your kid because you're taking this person's word for it, that's exactly what they're doing. That's exactly what they're doing. They don't need to do any damage to you. You're doing it to your own child. Okay, you get in the car and you turn the radio on, blast it loud so the kids can hear it, every word, every sound. Okay, the song, the kids in the back seat singing and dancing to the words of the song, saying exactly what the person is saying on the song. So you mean to tell me that this doesn't have an influence on our kids? All right, so pay attention to this, man. Pay attention to this. So when you see these rappers promoting stupidity and being dumb and demon time, just know that this is where our future is heading, okay? It's heading towards stupidity, all right? It's heading towards, you know, they want to push more technology and less common sense. They want the technology to think for your child so that way they can control them more. If everything in your house is smart, smart TV, smartphone, smart toaster, smart microwave, smart refrigerator. If everything in your house is smart, what does that make you? Dumb. this is their whole objective, all right? So is to keep the following generations dumb. And like I said, when you know, the ones that want to rebel, you know, eventually will no longer be here. Also, I want to talk about the 360 deal. Alright, the 360 deal is, like I said, it's self-explanatory. But it's projected, it's a new standard record deal that came into play about 2006, 2007, to enslave the artists more, okay? It literally takes, I would say, 75% of your earnings and whatever you make, okay, because they own your name. So if you're associated, if you sign a 360 deal and a Nike sponsorship comes and says, hey, we want you to be in our next commercial, you have to give a percentage of that to your record label. I don't know the percentage or how much they want, but they asked for a majority of their money that they gave you. Okay, so it's like people say, it's, you know, it's a trap. All right, these deals, and let's be honest here. I'm not into the gematria or anything or numerology, but let's pay attention to the numbers here. 360, okay, which can represent three sixes. All right, you know, you got 36 Mafia, you got 36 Chambers. All right, the 36 is a definition of satanic. All right. 3-6 Mafia already broke this down in the interview with Vlad or whatever, Country Black, whatever. He did an interview with Vlad, and he talked about this. You know what I'm saying? This is reality, man. So when you signing these deals, you're basically signing a slave contract. Now, what you guys got to understand, and I put a post in my community tab the other day about people selling their souls to a gaming development company, right? And they said it was an April Fool's joke, right? It was an April Fool's joke or what have you, and they were just playing with people, okay? But to be honest with you, that's not even a joking matter. In my point of view, that's not a joking matter. But here's the thing, what I want to get to really quick. It's the fact that people don't actually pay attention to what they're signing and what they're agreeing to. So when you get a 360 deal in front of you and you see the word taking terms, this is definition of you giving permission for this company to own your soul, okay? A lot of people don't read these things, they don't read these contracts and understand that, hey man, you know, that's a whole bunch. When they talking about selling their soul, they talking about something else, man. Okay? When most record companies, when you sign to a label, they make you sign with the red pen. So if you see any artists out there signing in the car, trying to persuade you, like, yeah, look at me, I'm signed now, you know, because that's basically selling you hope. That's, they're doing the same thing the preacher's doing, because in hopes that one day I could sign with MMG, one day I could sign with Yo Gotti. So when you see these artists signing on these, signing with these black pens or blue pens, that's false, okay? All business is always done in the office, okay? Always remember that. When you're signing to a major label, it's always done in an office, all right? So signing to Good Music and you're meeting Kanye at McDonald's and he tells you, hey, sign this contract, that's irrelevant. I'm talking about these major corporations that control these individuals. They make you sign your deal in a red pen, which represents your blood. Okay, so take that into consideration, all right? We always have to remember that they're not on our side, okay? The media, these corporations, they're not on our side. And they hire these artists, okay, as puppets for you, the viewer, to embrace them as if they're being your leader or truthful, okay? And you know, when someone is placed in front of you on a platform, you know, you take that person into consideration. Now, so the 360 deals are definitely a part of the devil's plan. And, you know, if you can look up to it and why it's named 360, basically they want to make finances all across the board. This deal came into play because the record sales around early 2000s were decreasing due to software programs such as LimeWire, Napster, and Kazaa, and other things of that nature. So the record business was deflating. Okay, they came up with a new style of deal to make more money off of the artists. Okay, so they would the whole object of a 360 deal is to make more money off of the artist to recoup. Okay, so if they give you $1.5 million, better believe that they want $1 million in return, and you keep the $500,000. Okay, that's basically a 360 deal in layman's terms. Okay, it's basically a way to keep you more enslaved and entrapped. All right, these deals usually are lifetime deals. You know, unless you renegotiate, some people don't know that they can renegotiate after the second album. When you sold a certain amount of records, you can renegotiate. It's just like refinancing a car, same process. But the 360 deals are definitely, you know, a part of the devil's plan. And when you sign up for this, you guys have to read these contracts, man, because it's always in small fine print. The manipulation tactics that are in there, and most people don't read this. Okay, so if you sign a deal next week, you know, make sure you go over this and with your lawyer and say, what does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean? I don't care if it takes you 2 days. Find out what everything means in that contract. All right. I want to drop some jewels on y'all too, man. And a lot of people, you know, and this bothers me a lot too, man. I'm gonna end the video here. A lot of y'all in the comments say, man, yo, I wanted to do music, but, you know, watching your videos, I don't want to do it anymore, man. Here's my advice to y'all, man. Don't give up on your dreams. I don't care what nobody say. Don't give up on your dreams, man. Always pursue and keep going. When you get in this business, if you want to still be in the music business, by all means, go ahead and do it, right? But just know what you're willing and what you're not willing to do. Know the difference, okay? Open your eyes and your mind and pay attention to the things that's going on around you. Okay, if something doesn't feel right, then don't go forward with it, all right? So if you want to make music and you want to be famous and you want to be a star, go ahead. But make sure that what you're doing is the right thing, okay? Because if you're doing the wrong thing, you're watching the wrong video. Okay, if your plans are to destroy the world and, you know, continue this hermetic thought process, you know what I'm saying? By all means, go ahead. All right. But you know, I want to instill in some of y'all, man, that, you know, if music is your passion, by all means, go forward with it. But I know a lot of y'all think that y'all need these labels because they're the machine. They're going to put the chain around your neck. They're going to put the car in your driveway. They're going to put your moms in a nice big house. They're going to put you on TV and all this stuff. But do the work yourself and make them come to you. All right? Do the work yourself. Don't always be so quick to ask for a handout, because when you ask for a handout, you always have to give something in return. Okay? Remember that. So if you're out there begging for a record deal and you're all in people's comments, listen to my music, you're begging, you're showing up at people's shows and popping up on them, always remember this. Always remember this. What you're begging for does not come for free. All right? It does not come for free. All right, y'all. So I thank y'all, you know what I'm saying, for watching this video, like, sharing, comment, subscribing, and all of that. Also, I want to give a shout out to Honeybee. Thank you, sweetheart, for the Cash App. That was greatly appreciated. And also, Tanya Montague. Thank you also for the Cash App. That was greatly appreciated. All right. So, leave your comments below on what topics y'all think I should talk about next. My next video, I'm going to break down. I'm not going to give it away because I don't want nobody to get on the sauce. But yeah, man. Hope everybody stays blessed, man. And hold your head, man. Peace.